I'm founder of the Young African Aviation Professional Association, which is a non-profit organization that's main objective is to promote the development of African aviation and to raise more awareness on the career opportunities. Through my activities for the past 6 years, we were lucky to get the IATA Award in 2019. If you're passionate about passing out a message, stick to your passion, because with passion, you don't calculate. So when I talk to 100 kids about the opportunities in aviation, I talk about everything in aviation and beside aviation, because I just want them to each find their spark.
You're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. I am your host, Aburengwi C, coming to you from our Johannesburg studios. We are on Pulse 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet, Channel 802 in Southern Africa. You can also find the episodes on www.1000africanvoices.com. This is a program that profiles Africans of diverse African cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. Welcome to 1000 African Voices. The show begins right now.
1000 African Voices.
Hello, African. Welcome to yet another episode of 1000 African Voices. Today we go all the way to Cameroon to meet one of a kind. I'm referring to none other than Fadimato Nochemo. Hi, Fadimato.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for getting me on board today.
Oh, no, really excited to talk to you about your work, Africa, aviation, and whatever else. Before we do all of that, do you mind just introducing yourself to our listeners? Who is Fadimato Nochemo?
Well, thank you again for reaching out to Central Africa. I'm Fadimato Nochemo Simo, born from Cameroon, passionate about Africa in general, because it's my belief that we have the responsibility as Africans to build bridges between our five regions. So I'm founder of the Young African Aviation Professional Association, which is a non-profit organization that's main objective is to promote the development of African aviation and to raise more awareness on the career opportunities, especially to the underprivileged and those in the rural areas who don't have a vision on understanding the importance that aviation has in the development of every economy. Through my activities, I have been able to relate and bring together through our platform Africans from the five regions: Northern Africa, Southern Africa, Eastern Africa, Western and Central Africa, where I come from. So through my activities for the past 6 years, we were lucky to get the IATA Award in 2019 and also the Commonwealth Point of Light for Cameroon. And more importantly, a recognition to the contribution of the development of the African aviation during the 50th anniversary of the African Civil Aviation Celebration that took place in Dakar. So apart from working with my nonprofit, I recently created a startup that specializes in aviation consultancy, promotion of African tourism, so that we could, through collaboration and partnership with others across Africa, sell our countries within the continent, build bridges to promote business. So basically, my activities has been to to reach out to the communities and to inspire many more people to understand that we have a great treasure, which is Africa, and no boundary is there to stop us from going wherever we want.
I absolutely love that we have a great treasure called Africa. We've always known that when it comes to the abundance of mineral resources, Africa tends to be a leading continent, but for many reasons, mostly historical reasons, we've never really been able to fully benefit from that endowment. Fatima, I'm really quite curious to maybe get a sense of how you became an influential person within the aviation space. Do you mind just maybe taking us back in time so that our listeners can understand how you became a Fadima Du, the aviation specialist? How was your background? How did you get to where you are now?
Well, thank you for really taking me back to the source, because what I will explain should serve as an example to our listeners to say, you never know how and when you find your passion, but once you find it, you should stick to it. Actually, Cameroon is, as you know, is an English and French speaking country. And funny enough, my parents come from the French speaking region. And when I was a kid, my mom suddenly decided, she had a vision and said, if you don't speak English in the future, you won't have your place in the world. And that just came up to her, and she removed me from the French school and put me in the English school, which at least today gives me the opportunity to speak to you fluently in English. So through my studies, I had no reference in my family with the English system of education. So I went on my own. I was a pioneer. So entering into primary school, going to secondary school, I found myself studying in rural areas for 7 years. And my understanding, living in the city and studying in the boarding school in the rural areas, made me understand the gap difference between the urban and rural area. Because we were a boarding school, but each time we had events with other students in the other schools, we found out we were doing the same program, but we didn't have the same exposure. So going into loving sciences, for me, I was seeing myself a medical doctor. So when I got my advanced level, I tried the national exam for the medical school. We had one at that time. And unfortunately, not that I wasn't brilliant enough, I didn't meet the criteria for selection. So imagine a young student passionate about medicine who wants to become a medical doctor but has no other opportunity than just being in the country. So I was obliged to go to university where I did 2 years of sciences, but that wasn't the vocation I was looking for. So going to meet seniors at the university, because that's where I saw we had other faculties, I got interested into understanding what could work for my country. And I remember one of my lecturers, late Dr. Carl Wunde, who gave me the advice of going into economics. He said, if you study economics for 3 years, then you can switch to whatever you will want, because that's the basis of understanding how a country's economy works. So I did economics, and my first job was actually with telecommunications company, where I got the job as an administration and HR manager. So after 3 years of telecom, for personal reasons, I had to quit. I joined the banking sector. Then I went into IT sector. And in 2010, I was offered the opportunity to work for an airline. So honestly, it had never crossed my mind before to think about the careers on a platform at an airport or even an airline. It never, you know, as I say, exposure makes you think more on opportunities. So when I joined, this was the startup project for the relaunch of Cameroon Airlines Corporation, my national airline. I was lucky to work with a team of expatriates who were aviation professionals. And I remember the commercial director at that time, who was French, who told me, aviation, once you get in, you don't quit. Short enough, after startup, I was moved from administration to logistics and procurement in maintenance and engineering. What struck me first was that there was no woman, and I was the only female senior staff in maintenance. Then I have nothing with the men, but they kept reminding me that this was a man's job.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasting from an African perspective. We are on Pass 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet Channel 802 in Southern Africa, as well as www.1000africanvoices.com. You can also stream the show by visiting our podcast page on www.channelafrica.org. On social media, we are Channel Africa 1 on both Facebook and Twitter. That's Channel Africa with the numeral 1. 1000 African Voices is a partnership initiative between Channel Africa and 1000 African Voices Pty Ltd, an online media company. 1000 African Voices is a program that profiles Africans of diverse cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. And now, back to our guest.
So I look back and said, wow, now I'm discovering a new industry and I see that there are opportunities. But when I was back in school in the rural area, we could not even think about the opportunities in aviation. I became curious and started asking questions. And I remember attending my first conference in Ethiopia in 2012. You know, we grew up with stories from the environment. All we knew about Ethiopia was that, oh, they were suffering from hunger. That's what media showed to us. And so I remember my first trip for the conference in Ethiopia. Everyone was asking me, what are you going to do there? But when I got to Ethiopia, I found a completely rich country, very developed. And I was impressed and by the development of the aviation sector in Addis. But when I was in that conference, imagine me sitting with CEOs with 30 years experience, 40 years experience. They were all talking about issues that was not promoting the industry. You know, they were criticizing the approaches, you know, it was all technical. And I remember you have one of the great advocates of the African aviation, Mr. Nick Fadukba, who actually organizes this African Aviation Summit, who invited me to sit on the panel for the closing session. And I will not thank him enough because I had the opportunity to speak to CEOs and to tell them something was missing. I told them while they are busy talking about strategies and criticizing, they should stand as one and promote the industry, which is aviation, more to that, the African aviation. And I told them I engaged myself to volunteer as one of the people who will promote this industry among the underprivileged and those in the rural area so that the brilliant ones who are left out could be given the opportunity. So that's how came the birth of the Young African Aviation Professional Association. And if you look at the logo, there is a star that comes from Ethiopia and crosses Africa. So basically, it comes from a personal experience and me seeing that putting people in the right environment or raising awareness on what really exists could be a source of intellectual development to make us understand that we don't only possess the riches, but if we communicate, collaborate, travel to see what happens elsewhere, then we will be able to appreciate more what we have in Africa.
I am actually looking at the logo. It's amazing how much things change when your perspective changes. So the moment you gave us the backstory regarding Ethiopia, now I'm looking at your logo, I see the star, and I see a line, and I see just takeoff. It's almost like you're starting this thing in Ethiopia, and then the whole continent is tied to that string of whatever we call it, and just taking off, supposedly taking off to the world. So thank you for sharing the beautiful logo. What is it that makes aviation in Ethiopia so well organized? So when I think of Ethiopia, I think of Ethiopian Airlines. And besides the history of Ethiopia, the ruins, their colonial history, from the sense that they do remain the only state never to be colonized, But I think about Ethiopian Airlines. They are a huge entity. What, in your view, makes them stand out from the rest of the continent?
Well, I've had the opportunity to meet Mr. Tewolde for the past decade. And I must admit that I'm impressed with the consistency, devotion, and passion of the Ethiopians to their industry. You know, when you have a role model, when you have someone who succeeds in doing something and you also want to succeed, the best approach in life is to always look at it and learn. I can tell you, in 10 years, there has been a consistency. Mr. Tewolde, that I met back in 2012, is still the CEO in 2021. And we have all experienced the different phases of challenges that he has gone through handling crises with crashes, handling the pandemic. For example, no one was prepared for COVID. But we see how, even with the changes in the environment or the conditions, there has been a consistency on having the flexibility to adapt, to maintain and sustain the industry. So this is something that I believe the Ethiopians themselves have in their mindset, in their blood. And it's an example that we all need to know and follow. Because when I got to Addis, believe me, each year I get to Ethiopia, I get impressed by the development. You know, 2012, I remember we took part in the launch of the construction of the hangar. A year after, when I came, that hangar was built. And then there was the academy. I visited the academy when we had the last conference in March 2020, just before COVID could stop us from traveling. And you will not imagine the big change I found, from the hotel to the academy. And, you know, this is what I say, when you are consistent and you have a goal and you want to achieve that goal, Ethiopia has, through its strategy, its resilience and hard work, been wanting to become the best in that industry, and they are doing it the right way.
I totally agree. Even without someone like me, without having an intimate knowledge of how the aviation space works, all I know is it's a very competitive space, it's expensive, and that the margins are quite tight. But what I see in Ethiopian Airlines is an entity that seems to be well organized, and they seem to have a bigger goal than just being Ethiopian Airlines, but rather wanting again to take Africa to the world. Let's come back to yourself. You talk a lot about wanting to go back to sort of the villages, creating exposure and getting those young village kids to have some interest in aviation. Why is that important for you to be able to do that? Why do you seem to care about it as much as you do?
When I joined the aviation industry, every time I went to a conference, there was always the same remark of the African aviation industry is not successful. And, you know, having studied in a rural area and seeing the level of competency that was in the rural areas, I put myself to say, if the parents who are the farmers or who don't have a high revenue, but who still afford to pay to send their children to school, were given the opportunity to also be part of this industry, maybe that could make a difference. So my advocacy is not only reaching out on the knowledge on aviation opportunities, but it's also to the stakeholders. Because when you look at aviation in general, it's a very expensive industry. But when you have the aviation stakeholders, like the OEMs, Airbus, Boeing, Embraer, ATR, Bombardier, my question is, you come to Africa to sell your aircrafts because none is manufactured in Africa, which means that Africa is your market. So why don't we review the strategy for the survival of the global industry by putting in some transparent measures to select candidates who could be able to work for that industry for its growth? When we look at global world statistics, we only go with the increase in population. We see more and more the development, the need for aviation across the world and particularly in Africa. Since January 1st, 2021, we are into the African Free Trade Zone. How do we think we will be able to facilitate trade if cargo will not be a big part of it? And if cargo is going to be a big part of it, carrying goods and people from one point to the other within Africa, who do we expect to see as the actors? Are they not Africans? They are Africans. So every African, be it in the rural area or the urban area, should be given a chance for us to get the best. So my focus in rural areas is first to try as much as possible to ensure that these kids while going to school also have a vision that this industry, which is the future, will be offering opportunities. A lot of countries say we have unemployment. And I say it's just because we don't try to train our young ones to work on solutions that can first solve our problems. So I believe humbly that my contribution with the, because now I can say in 6 years, we have about 20 initiatives that I know about across Africa that are also into doing outreach promoting. So today we are actively working to see how we can relate, because you in South Africa, for example, know your level of development of aviation. You have business aviation, you have extra infrastructure, you have the best. But if you fly across Africa, you will see the disparity. So if we try to get countries or young people or professionals within African countries mentor the other ones with the inclusion of every African, then we will be sure that the industry will be successful for everyone.
Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
All right, yeah, thanks for that response, Fadima Du. As someone who hosts 1,000 African Voices, I think about the continent a lot in terms of what we need to do to, at the very least, erase the borders that were put in place back then. And erasing the border comes in many different ways. One way is to facilitate trade between the different countries. And the other way is to improve ease of access as you move from one place to the other. Ultimately, the ultimate goal will be to have a unified Africa. The one thing that I must say makes it really difficult to move around is the cost of traveling across from one place to the next. I know in some countries you have to travel to Europe and then come back to the continent. I don't understand that. Maybe you can shed some light on how all of that works and why it's so expensive to fly around our own continent.
Thank you for this question. And I don't know if you've been following some of the initiatives that have been ongoing. 2018, the African Union took the engagement to promote SATAM, which is the open space, the open African space. And we have the African aviation stakeholders, like the African Civil Aviation Organization. We have the African Airline Association or the Southern African Airline Association, which has been raising awareness to governments to understand the necessity of contributing to the growth of aviation through various support, from tax reduction to exonerations or subventions, because an understanding of the aviation industry, I must stress, is governments basically make decisions on how they want to grow their GDPs. But if you don't give a sound explanation on how the industry contributes to the development and the necessity of some measures to be taken to support the industry, you will not be able to have the charges lower. So the tickets are so expensive because of the charges, but they have been a keen work since 2018, adding to the other initiatives that were done before to unify Africa by having each country engaged to facilitate the movements of people and goods with the subventions or the support or the tax reduction on the charges. So this has been ongoing, and we are very positive because more and more countries are joining, signing in for the SATAM. And it's our hope to see that very soon tickets drop down, more communication and facilitation to enable the communication between the African countries. And we will be able to see, hopefully, with the end of COVID, as we all wish, a positive change on the facilitation of travels intracontinental.
Yeah, I sure hope we get that. It's really long overdue. And as much as COVID has impacted a lot of industries, and I would imagine the aviation industry, which at the best of times is on the sort of borderline between profitability and bankruptcy, I would imagine that the impact of COVID-19 has been quite significant. But I do hope that the African Union, and I always hesitate when I talk about that organization, but it is what we have. I hope that they can facilitate more of sort of free travel around the continent. Let's switch gears a bit and talk about your organization. When I, on this show, talk to people who run sort of non-profit type organizations, I always wonder how you go about sort of the financial backing that you need to keep something such as what you do going. What's your business model or your funding model? Just to get a sense in case some of our listeners want to do what you do as well.
Well, I will say that the creation of a non-profit organization depends on each country's policies. In Cameroon, when you create an association, you have some limitations. For example, you cannot raise funds, you cannot receive donations if you are an association directly. And so it's only when you get the status of an NGO. And so you need to have 3 years. This is in Cameroon. That's why I cannot generalize, because it depends on how each country has put its strategies in the establishment of an association or an NGO.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to 1000 African Voices on Channel Africa, an international public service station of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasting from an African perspective. We are on PAS 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa. We are also on DSTV Radio Bouquet, channel 802 in Southern Africa, as well as www.1000africanvoices.com. You can also stream the show by visiting our podcast page on www.channelafrica.org. On social media, we are Channel Africa 1 on both Facebook and Twitter. That's Channel Africa with the numeral 1. 1000 African Voices is a partnership initiative between Channel Africa and 1000 African Voices Pty Ltd, an online media company. 1000 African Voices is a program that profiles Africans of diverse cultures who have traveled and lived across the African continent and the world. And now, back to our guest.
But for Cameroon, you need to have the status of an association first before you can, with your reports of activities, follow up, now apply to become an NGO. So we are in the process of applying to become an NGO because we've been in existence for 6 years. But I will be sincere with you. Discovering the necessity of raising awareness for me was so vital, because I took my own case that each money I gain, I put some of it for most of my activities. Then we have luckily been having some people who support us in our outreach events. They come in as sponsors where they can provide some gadgets, some goodies that we distribute to the kids. But I have been the one behind promoting the association, engaging part of what I earn into the activities, because people out there don't just look at you. They want to see what you do. And before me, people have done many things. So I will not advise anyone going into creating an association to think about, how will I get the support to do what I do? The advice I will give is, if you're passionate about passing out a message, stick to your passion. Because with passion, you don't calculate. I can't tell you the sacrifices I do, sleepless nights, organizing events on my own, doing, being the jack of all trades. And my joy is to be able to see that I can mobilize 100 kids and take them, for example, to visit the airport and do the passenger's track. So just the glow on the eyes of these kids, or me exchanging about my own experience to the young ones, to the next gen, to make them understand there is no magic. It's just a matter of hard work, devotion, and sacrifice. That joy alone makes me completely satisfied. I know other people invest in for women. Some of us will want good, nice handbags, and I sacrifice all that. Some will say, okay, I want to have 10-story buildings. No, I use part of what I earn into investing in giving the orientation to the next gen. Because if we want to see Africa become developed tomorrow, it's our engagement in our own little way to contribute to that. And I believe that knowledge is power. So if for this industry, because when I look at aviation, it's really the future of Africa, because aviation alone mobilizes many other industries. And I always tell people, I say all industries are in the aviation industry. So if we really want to think of Africa in 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, it's investing in people. It's creating this platform of collaboration and exchange where people can mentor. And that's why we say at YAPA, we inspire, we empower, we inspire, we mentor, and we empower.
You know, listening to you, you did mention earlier that you got to know about aviation bit sort of later, once you had completed school, and as you got more exposure, you became aware of aviation. And now that you've been in the sector for a number of years, you have clearly cultivated this passion that you have for the sector, the passion that you have for maybe the young kids who want to go into that sector or who need to be exposed to aviation. What I've always wondered, and that question is coming up again as I'm listening, is whether passion is something that we are born with, or if it's something that can be developed. And the reason that question is coming up is sort of getting the sense that with exposure, you may get your sort of doors opening to different spaces. And it may be that when you go through one of those doors, you discover your passion, and then you can develop that passion even further. It's really sort of a philosophical question, but I found that as you were talking, I was thinking about that. I don't know if you have any views at all, maybe just looking at your own experience around passion.
I will say that passion, you are not born with passion. It's the exposure of what you are doing and what you see that can bring you to devote or dedicate yourself into making it be known. That's my own way of putting it. Because when I look at the different industries in which I have had the opportunity to contribute, I have always learned something because I discovered and I was curious to know about it. So each time I'm doing something, I always want to really understand what important role it plays and how I can raise awareness to get in more people. Because I'm tired, believe me, to always hear in Africa people say, I'm jobless. I went to school. I don't have a job. So each time I am into something and I tap into see that, by having another exposure or seeing from another angle, there is potential, I raise awareness. So I was in the banking sector, and I remember telling my sister, why don't you do banking? Because sciences in my country at that time, I said, well, if you don't do polytechnic, if you don't do medical school, what else would you do about from teaching? And I'm happy that today she did banking. And today I have my sister who is Regional Director of Treasury at Ecobank in Cameroon. So you see that when you move forward and you see where opportunities could be tapped and you share your experience, the more you will share the experience, it could be the light that someone needs to be able to go on his own track. So when I talk to 100 kids about the opportunities in aviation, I talk about everything in aviation and beside aviation, because I just want them to each find their spark. It won't work for everyone, but at least I believe that there will be one person I will inspire. And that one person, I believe, can also do it. So that's what I call not being born with passion, but loving what you do that makes it become part of you.
I absolutely love that. And again, I was really picking your brain on maybe how you think about it. It's a concept that I think about a lot. I think the likes of Steve Jobs have talked about passion quite a bit. And now we're seeing leading entrepreneurs in the form of Elon Musk, etc., really talking about what passion is. I know those who philosophize will say, without action, passion yields no worthwhile results. And that passion is really the fuel in the fire of action. I like the second one a bit more. Arimadu, as we starting to wrap up, where in Cameroon are you based exactly?
I'm based in the beautiful city of Douala.
Ah, lovely. And what does one do there for fun? Like when you're not thinking about aviation and you want to let your hair down, so to speak, what are some of the things you get up to just to unwind a bit?
Oh, you know, Cameroon, first of all, as I say, is Africa in miniature. And in Douala, which is the economic capital, you have a little bit of everything. I call Douala sometimes the window of the world, because you find people from different horizons, different cultures, gastronomy, fun. You get everything around Douala. It's a city where you can't get bored. You even have dedicated areas where you get representation of most of the African countries. And if you love gastronomy, Douala is well known for the shrimps, the roasted fish, the food, because we have the famous ndole. I don't know if you've tasted it before.
I haven't. So, please describe it.
So you have some bitter leaves that are sliced, washed completely, and then prepared with boiled groundnuts rounded. And now you have a diversity of, we call them obstacles in the local language. So you could do it with shrimps, you could do it with dried fish, you could do it with beef. And they call the miondo. Miondo is a cassava that has been soaked and then wrapped in some leaves and boiled. So one of the typical dish when you get to Douala is ndole, because the tribe, the main tribe, the Sawa people, have that as their main menu with the roasted fish on the side. So to our listeners, we have a beautiful continent and we have a rich gastronomy. We have a diversity in tourism, and Douala offers a lot that could be discovered.
It sounds like we need to encourage our listeners to take a flight to Douala and maybe enjoy the culture of Cameroon, yeah?
Definitely. You are welcome anytime. Right now, we are having the Shan that's been organized, and we have African countries in Cameroon. But Douala is special, you know, as we say. If you have the opportunity, never miss it up. Fly to Cameroon and visit the beautiful city of Douala.
Yeah. I mean, listening to that, I can understand why you sort of promote the aviation industry. It makes sense to me, and it sounds like you're the perfect person to do that. So yes, to the listeners of 1,000 African Voices, not only do we listen to great content, but we do need to physically go to these places that we talk about all the time. Personally, I have not traveled to Cameroon. I'm really quite curious to see how a country that is both English and French gets to function as one entity, because I think there are many lessons for sort of how you make such a setup work. So yeah, hopefully we'll get to come to, you know, when I think of Cameroon, I think of, as a football follower, I think of the different World Cups where Cameroon, more often than not, were sort of the flag bearers of African football. So that's the one thing that you guys have do so well.
Yes. So it's the famous country of Roger Milla, Samuel Eto'o. So this has been one of the biggest pride. We have been 5 times winner of the African Cup of Nations. So Cameroon is really a place to visit. And I strongly believe, and that's one of the passion, that Ethiopian Airlines as the African carrier, Sky, Kenya Airways, Senegal Airlines, these are the airlines that go across the continent, Egypt Air, that really need to be flown anytime to visit Douala as a city.
Perfect. And I think you did say it earlier that without aviation, we really cannot talk about a connected Africa. So I really do understand, as you said, that aviation is in every industry, or every industry is in aviation. It makes total sense. So Fadima Du, this has been really lovely. I've learned a lot about aviation. I've learned about some of the challenges that we have as a continent, but also the opportunities that are presented within the aviation state. So thank you for being so generous with your time and for sharing your experiences with our listeners. It's really, really been good. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to the audience of 1,000 Voices of Africa. I wish you all the best. And as we work all for a united Africa, you are welcome anytime to reach out, just as I know I'm welcome anytime where you are.
Absolutely. On that note, we will stop there. Again, let's go to Cameroon. Let's go and see, experience the food, the gastronomy, as Fadima Du said. Till next time, please do continue to fly the African flag and continue to do your bit to connect the different countries. Thank you once again. On that note, we will leave it there. Till next time.
Thank you very much.
1,000 African Voices.
You've been listening to 1,000 African Voices on Channel Africa. Please join us next time as we bring you yet another voice. You can find us on our facebook.com page by searching for Channel Africa 1. Our Twitter handle is also at Channel Africa 1. To download this and other episodes, log on to channelafrica.org and go on to the podcast page. Our sound engineer is Sam Ganich. The theme song for the show is Africa by the legendary Salif Keita. On behalf of the 1000AfricanVoices.com team and Channel Africa, I'm your host, Abu Rengwi C. Until next time, Kungana Africa, and take care.